Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Wednesday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, lots of pre-owned inventory. A great service department and sales staff. Ready to help you out with whatever you need, whether you're buying a new or pre-owned vehicle, need to get that state inspection, maybe need some new parts, maybe just a simple oil change. They got you covered because they are the home of the repeat customer. And that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. ESPN's John Crispin joining us today with the latest on the fallout from all the Juwan Howard stuff, and also be getting into some Penn State men's hoops after that disappointing loss the other night to Maryland. Penn State getting ready for Northwestern on Friday night at the BJC as the regular season begins to wind down. So we'll hear more from John Crispin a little bit later on today. But I kind of want to go back to what Steve kind of talked about in the final, mostly the final half hour, but parts of the show too, just in terms of the conversation that we've been having the last couple of days of sports needing to make sure that they fit into time windows. Basketball needing to fill into 2 hours, college basketball that is. College football should fit into 3 hours. Baseball should fit into 3 hours. Like all those types of things. It was based off our talk, brief talk on the Daytona 500 from earlier in the week. But I totally agree. You know, he mentioned a lot about the Yankee Red Sox thing. Those games definitely have been way too long in particular. Like four and a half hours, as Steve mentioned. He's absolutely right. Part of the problem is all the things that he mentioned about that baseball needs to change with the guys trying to, you know, dance it in the batter's box, the constant changing of pitchers taking their time, all those sorts of things. No doubt we need to see that, and I think it helps with the pitching clock, which, of course, is being worked on right now and experimented on right now in the minor leagues. But also, too, the problem with Yankees Red Sox in particular is more often than not, those games are on national TV, so of course, they're going to take advantage of the commercial time. So that's not necessarily something I think baseball can totally have a say in, but you can at least help out the game in your own right. I thought some of the numbers that Steve brought up yesterday from Tom Verducci's column on SI.com were almost non-surprising for the most part in terms of how much time the average is of ball in play and things like that. But what stood out to me was the average age of players that are only being used as DHs now. And it's kind of getting younger and younger. I mean, that age of 31, average age of 31, that was a little surprising to me. Because you have a lot of guys, if I'm understanding this correctly at least, is you have a lot of guys that are still maybe towards the second part of their prime at around 31. And it's especially interesting because of the way these contracts are now. They were at least before this new CBA will hopefully be agreed upon before the start of the season, where you have guys that if they try to play for that second contract, well, they're going to be making a whole lot of money but not doing a whole lot, or maybe not being as productive. And as a fan, I don't know if I want to see that. That'd be an annoyance to me. And I'm not in the full hype of what's happening right now with the negotiations getting into, I don't know enough to get into the weeds of that, but obviously the core economic issues are at the forefront of that, so we'll see if things get done. I can't tell you one way or the other if they will, but I would be still a little surprised if they didn't, given they know what's on the line. I think maybe the next week or so you'll start to see something going. I mean, the deadline that they're setting, MLB is setting, is next Monday, the 28th. And we still haven't seen a whole lot of progress. So the longer this goes on, of course, the more nervous you're going to get. But maybe somehow they get it done. I don't know.
When you go home at the end of the day, do you complain the same way you do on the show?
I guess it depends on the day. But I don't bring my said sports rants home usually, because I know it's just going to go through one ear and out the other.
So there are other rants?
There may be, depending on the day.
You have other rants? Hi, yay, yay. Boy, there's just a lot going on upstairs there, isn't there? My goodness. Yes, I did post something nice on Facebook about the suit and the chief. Just so you know. I did.
I know what that is about, yes.
About, I guess, is their season over?
It is, yeah, with the loss last night to Central Mountain in the district playoffs.
Oh, another. No. Sorry about the failure. Oh, okay, so, is it the wrong word? No? Not the right word?
Maybe not.
Just joking. Come on. I got a sense of humor. All right, so let's see. We got. I actually got a couple of questions here, I guess, on Facebook. So I wanted to get to that here. Let's see. Super Bowl play. This is from Matt. Hello, Matt. Appreciate the question. I apologize for getting back late on some of these. So I apologize for that. But I just literally just got it in my email. So that's why, you know, and I hate to say this, it ended up in my junk mail right next to all the stuff the suit sends.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I've been thinking about your comment that the Bengals should have had Mixon in there, and he probably should have gotten the ball on fourth down. I thought that brought back a memory of the Penn State game with Ohio State, and Trace McSorley was having one of the best games of his career. He had over 150 yards rushing in that game. Fourth and five, they ran the ball with Miles Sanders instead of putting it in the hands of the best player of the day for a run-pass option. All right, that's his comment on that. And people have talked about that before as to, you know, why about that particular play. And they gave it to Miles, and Chase Young just, he made a phenomenal play. Okay, so that's one. This one is from Rob. And Rob writes, next time you do some Ask Steve questions, here are a few I've always wondered about. Okay. On game days, what would ever happen if Steve is sick and can't go?
Really?
Say, what are the backup plans? I'll be honest with you. We have never explored a backup plan. I would assume that the backup plan would be Brian Tripp. Okay. Now, in basketball, we do know that between Brian Tripp and Joe Putnam, when I've had a conflict between football and basketball, one of the two of them, they've been the first two guys to fill in. I think on football, if anything ever happened, it would be Bryant. I would imagine it would depend on the game, because if it's a home game, you can get someone to cover it easier than on the road. I feel like I disappointed you, Rob, by trying to stay healthy over the years. I know the last time you did the segment, someone asked about how many people you got paid from. I would ask, how do all your interview requests work? Well, Matt sets them all up. And another guy named Zach Seiko. In terms of my interview request. So if the Big Ten wants you on, what's the process? Okay, what happens if the Big Ten wants me on, someone from the Big Ten Network calls me, or somebody, a producer from SiriusXM will call me. So that's the process, simple as that. They have my number. Let's see. You obviously get quite a few other requests. What do you have to do? And besides your schedule, what else goes on? What else goes into your reason if you can't do something? As to whether you can or can't do something. It just depends on time. So in other words, I've been asked many times, Rob, hey, we need you to do something. Could you? But it's open at 2:30. Well, I can't do it. Or we need you on at 4 o'clock, right? And, you know, when the suit was produced, I said, sure, I was wide open. I had plenty of time. No, just kidding. We'd like you on at 4 o'clock. No, I can't do it. These are the times I can do it. And so I'll outline to them, hey, look, I can do it at this time, and this time, but there's a block of time I can't do it. There have been times where they've wanted me to do it when I was at practice, and I've stepped out of practice, and I've done an interview with another station or another network. But I've stepped out of practice to do it, and I've had no problem with doing that. Sometimes they'll be out in the field. Sometimes I'll just go into Hluba Hall and do it. And it's always on the phone, and they have my cell number. And that's how they get in touch with me, either through text, email, or whatever. And I've done so many of these with so many of the networks, they have saved my cell phone information, my contact information. When doing play-by-play, do you ever think this is going to be a big play that they'll remember for years, and do you try to do anything with the call? Well, that's a great question. And here's how I respond to that question. I try to do everything in the moment, and I do not plan in my mind what I am going to say, because I feel if I plan in my mind what I'm going to say, especially if I know it's a historic moment. A historic moment, for example, like Joe winning his 400th game is a historic moment. I knew eventually he'd win 400. Larry Johnson going over 2,000 yards rushing in a season, historic moment. Each time, though, I didn't plan out what I was going to say because I wanted to just take it as in the moment. And my thought process, Rob, has always been quite simple. If I do it right, they'll remember it forever. If I do it wrong, they're still so happy about the historic moment that it's not going to matter. So I've been fortunate when Larry Johnson got 2,000. When he crossed the goal line, for whatever reason, I blurted out 2K for LJ. All right? When Joe got to 400 and they threw him up in his shoulders, I said, you'll never see this again. One man, one school, 400 wins. For whatever reason in the moment, that's what I came up with. So that's always been my approach. For example, when the field goal was blocked a few years ago, we heard the call many, many times. But is there anything you would have done differently? No. I called it exactly the way I wanted to in the moment. I would not have changed a word. And especially when he got to the end zone, not only did I give you what the score was, but I told you how much time was remaining. And the reason I gave the time remaining in the game was to let everyone know how much Penn State had to survive to win. So on the blocked field goal by Marcus Allen, he blocked it. And when he blocked it, I knew he blocked it. But the ball bounced right away into the hands of Haley. So instead of saying Marcus blocked it, I said it was blocked. And I picked it up with Grant right away and took him into the end zone. When he got to the end zone, that's when I said Marcus Allen blocked it. Grant Haley takes it to the house, and the Nittany Lions have the lead with 4:27 to play. There is not a thing about that call. If I had to do it all over again, there is nothing about that call I would do differently. Zero. Okay? If there is baseball this year, I'm thinking of going to a Red Sox game because my son loves going to baseball games, and that's the one stadium I haven't been to. Are there good or bad seats or sections in that stadium? Sunshade, wind, cover. Okay. You want to be on the third base side at Fenway Park because the third base side is the side that gets the shade. You don't want to be in the bleachers or in the right field grandstand because if it's a day game because you won't be undercover. But the third base side, you'll be undercover. So that's why you want to go to Fenway there. Anything else? I always love the show. Look forward to the evening when I listen to the podcast, as long as the suit isn't covering, because he usually forgets to put them on until Matt comes in the next day and saves the show. Yeah. Well, Rob obviously has a great handle on everything. I hope that answered all of his questions. Those are a lot of really good questions there.
But a lot of good questions, though.
Maybe a lot of people don't know. No, a lot of really good questions. But yeah, on the Grant Haley play, there was zero I would change about that. Nothing. I would have called it exactly the same way in retrospect. Larry Johnson's touchdown call, wouldn't have changed it. Joe Paterno winning his fourth, wouldn't have changed it. There are a lot of things I wouldn't change. Every once in a while you sit back and, you know, and you say, well, you didn't quite do that one well enough. That happens sometimes. Yeah, but I don't plan out calls. And because I just think it's just better to be natural and in the moment. Even when I know there's history on the line with something. I didn't plan out how I was going to call a Big Ten championship. I didn't plan out how I was going to call the NIT championship. It's just whatever happened in the moment I did. And if it's good, people remember it forever. If it's not, they still remember that they won. All right, we'll take a break. We've got a lot going on today, as a matter of fact, on the show. None of which Matt had anything to do with. I just gave him all the credit for setting up all these guests. But, like, let's face it, you did none of these. I mean, I don't, you know. Where have you been? I mean, you gotta stop complaining. But we got John Crispin today. We got Donnie Collins today. And we also have an NFL draft analyst today as well. How about that? Don't have any of the combine yet. We're going to do an NFL draft deal. How about that? I know how much you love this because, you know, he thinks the Eagles should draft a quarterback. And I said, it doesn't take a genius to watch that team and figure it out.
I'm not ready for that yet.
Oh, come on. I'm having fun with you. I think Hurts is good enough. They got three draft picks. They got to shore up the rest of the team. You know? And to be honest with you, there will be quarterbacks taken in the first round, Matt. There are no first-round quarterbacks in the draft.
I agree.
But there will be quarterbacks taken in the first round. That doesn't mean I think they're first-round talents.
Exactly. I've felt that way really for a good amount of the last couple of drafts.
Oh, what? Trevor Lawrence a first-round talent?
He's like one of the few exceptions.
I mean, he's a first-round talent. I thought Justin Herbert was a first-round talent.
At the time, I didn't think as high as he went.
To be honest with you, you're working the show with me. You know how much I liked Herbert.
Yeah, you were a big fan.
Because I just looked at him like, there's something about him. When I saw him in the Rose Bowl and he didn't throw the ball well against Wisconsin, but he ran the ball well, I said, this guy can win in different ways. That's, you know, because I've watched him throw the ball enough. But yeah, I mean, certain guys, I think, you know, and then there are other guys you're like, you got to be kidding me. Really? There's a lot of those guys in this draft. All right. Come back. More in a moment. Dr. Donnie Collins, next half hour. Great to have you with us today on the show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That was important there that Rob gave you a little love in the email.
Absolutely.
Yeah, saying that, you know, he can depend on you to post it on the podcast. I mean, that's where Gary and Amy Goloszewski get, you know, I mean, it's the podcast where they get all there, you know? It's the podcast.
That's right, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. And once again, points out to the inefficiency of someone who's supposed to be in a leadership position.
S-U-I-T, that spells suita!
All right. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Let's get to Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Big USFL fan, by the way. Donnie, great to have you with us.
Yeah, I am today. Got to pick my team.
Well, let's see. So far, what, Christian Campbell, Tampa Bay Bandits. So that's the one Penn State guy that I know of.
I believe he's the only guy who's gotten picked.
Yeah.
He's the only one I know of. I mean, it might be just easier to root for Michigan. They took Shea Patterson, so. That makes some sense.
Yeah, well, you know, the USFL won't have big crowds, so we won't have to take a timeout before the first snap.
It'd be easier for him.
A lot easier for him as time goes. I have to ask you, you know, you watched, you know, it's the low-hanging fruit question of the week. You watched the Juwan Howard thing and what happened, how it played out, the eventual suspensions or fines for people. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's much of a suspension, really. I mean, it's the rest of the season. It hurts him. It hurts Michigan. I mean, not that they don't have a really good replacement, the guy to step in there. But yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people, you know, say, you know, we got to get rid of the handshake line now. If you can't get your butt beaten and get in the handshake line and shake hands and go back to your locker room and seethe about it and then go get them next time. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what sports is coming to. I mean, Juwan Howard's been through, I would think, much bigger slights than what Wisconsin gave. And I know they were wrong too.
Sure.
You know, how
yeah.
they handled the end of that game.
Yeah.
But you can't react that way if you're the leader of a program. It's just not something you see good leaders do. And I think at the end of the day, it's kind of a light suspension for a guy who really committed one of the cardinal rules of who broke a big rule of yeah. leadership. He didn't do what he would ask his players to do.
Right. Exactly. What got me was that both coaches showed no regret or remorse in their post-game press conferences, and each had about 10 minutes to kind of cool off afterward. And neither one showed any regret.
Yeah, it's just a different world. I mean, we, you know, we see it all the time in football. Like I've said, you know, I remember once. I mean, you'll remember it when Michigan State threw the touchdown. D'Antonio had the touchdown pass thrown in the blowout against Penn State to the center.
Yeah, Allen.
One of the Allen brothers.
Yeah.
And I said, I forget who was sitting next to me in the press box. I said, well, James is going to remember that, or whoever was the coach at the time.
It was James.
And the next year it was James, and the next year was a gigantic blowout, and Penn State had McSorley in late in the game. You know, and it was obvious what was happening. But that's how you handle things. And in baseball, I've covered a lot of baseball. You know, played baseball growing up. You know, they say, you know, these unwritten rules you don't break, but that's why you don't break them, because then they come back and bite you eventually. Not now. There's these things happen, and there's, you know, it's just the response is so immediate that you see stuff like this happen. I don't think it happens a lot. But when it does, it's kind of striking.
Well, in the end, they have revealed that it was 8-3 for the 12-team playoff. It was not 8-3 against. It was 8-3 for, and that it was the ACC, the Pac-12, and the Big Ten that ended up being the no votes. on the 12-team playoff. What was your thought? Now, that was the great Friday news dump. You notice when it came out.
It came out on Friday. All the good news comes out.
Everything comes out on Friday. So, what did you think when you heard that one?
It's amazing. I figured it was going to be that. Like, when I first heard it, like, because, you know, it has to be unanimous. So, and we knew the ACC was not, and, you know, they weren't into it. So you knew it wasn't going to happen. But to hear it was 8-3, and then to hear it was the three conferences that really stand to benefit most from the expanded playoff, it's shocking. And, you know, I wrote about it, and I did some research on it. And we've talked about this a couple times on the show, I think, you know, where you have to have more teams. You have to have different teams. Alabama could win every year. You just have to have a different variety in that first round or second round. Get people interested. Get people hopeful. Right. And I think it went from, I forget what the numbers were, but there were like 25 more programs that would have made a 12-team tournament.
Right.
And it's unconscionable to me that the Big Ten would let a system go by where it's definitely going to get two teams in, maybe three some years,
right?
And then let them go with a 4-team playoff where the SEC is going to get two of them most years. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I think the team that hurts most is Penn State. You could argue it's the program that gets hurt the most by not having an expanded playoff in the country, because no team that hasn't made the playoff has missed it more. They would have been in four times if there was a 12-team playoff.
That's right.
It's terrible for Penn State, which means it's also terrible for the Big Ten, to me.
Right. Yeah, and that's probably where a lot of this comes from me, because I know four times they would have made it. Okay. And it doesn't matter to me who wins it, because a lot of your great games, as we see in the NFL playoffs, are in the early rounds anyway. That end up being the signature moments.
Yeah. Look at the NFL playoffs this year. You could argue the Super Bowl was one of those four or five worst games played in the. Not that it was a bad game, but it was probably one of the three or four worst played games overall in the playoffs. I mean, they had some classic games in the early rounds. It got everybody invested in that sport for a month and a half. So I think college football badly needs that. That's the one thing that a 12-team tournament can, or any kind of expanded tournament could provide, that they're not getting. And to see that the SEC wanted it, it just doesn't make any sense why everybody wouldn't have gone for that. I'm sure there's a lot of green reasons why, but that doesn't make much sense to the fan.
Right. Now let me run this by you. I talked about this earlier in the week. Because it would have been a multi-network deal. At the moment, that's on hold. I mean, it's a couple of years away. We know NBC is not doing the NHL anymore, so they've got another $100 million that's hanging around for them that they were investing in the NHL each year for 10 years. CBS is moving out of the SEC. The Big Ten's the next one up for the TV contract. Actually, by not having the expanded 12-team playoff now, possibly get them more money because they're the first contract up, and then later they can benefit from getting the college football playoff money. Is that a possibility?
Like I said, there's a lot of green reasons to do this, to wait. And that's the big one. This TV contract is huge, and I think the TV contract is a major moment for the Big Ten, because you're in a position now where NBC is going to be a player. They're going to, even with Notre Dame, NBC is going to be a player, and I think Notre Dame makes everything very interesting in this world of expanding conferences and things like that.
Right.
I think the Big Ten becomes a very attractive commodity. The SEC's off the board. They've set the standard for what the price is going to be. And I don't think the Big Ten's far off that, if they're off that at all. And you have a desperate network who has a great history in sports with NBC that's just lost that's freed some money up. They don't have the Olympics right now.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think they have some money to spend. I think they're going to be a major player. CBS, and they have a bidding war because CBS loses the major conference that everybody wants with the SEC. So yeah, I think that's a major part of it. Fans aren't going to get that. I don't think they care. But I think I think in the Big Ten offices, that's a major, major sticking point right there. Like, you know, is this a time we should be financially considering doing something that, you know, that's going to hurt our chances to maybe get every dime we can get?
Just thought I'd float the theory, because I think financially there's a possibility they actually get more cash out of it because everybody's desperate for live sports right now, and they're the next entity up. And instead of competing with the college football playoff bidding, they're right now the only show in town.
It's a great theory, and I think it makes a ton of sense. And you know, you always want to. I know from baseball, you always want to be in a bidding war. You always want to get more networks involved. And it makes sense. It's capitalism. It's what we're built on. But, you know, is it what the fans want? No. Is it what the Big Ten wants? Yeah. Yeah, almost. You know, every program wants more money. Go ask James if he wants more money.
They all do. You know what? But, you know, we're in the 50 years now of Title IX, right? And they don't take the money and put it in a Swiss bank and then all draw it out and have a good time and go to the shore with it. It goes to all the other sports along the way. Yeah, sure, it goes to football and men's basketball, but it goes to all the other sports. It puts everybody in a good spot if they can negotiate this thing right.
Yeah, this is why Penn State could have 30-some sports. I forget what the number is.
It's 31.
31, yeah. That's why you could have 31 sports 2 years after a pandemic, not... You know, and this is what I mean. The one thing that really gets anybody in you know, athletic departments angry is when one conference has a lot of programs with you know 10 pro, you know 10 sports teams or 13 sports teams, and you're out there running.
Yeah, I know.
Too, and Penn State being one of them. But yeah, that's the thing. You want to have a great fencing program. You want to have a great men's volleyball program. This is where that money comes from. Football makes it, and now money's at a premium. So you have to be able to get every dollar you can, and the easiest way to do that is through these TV contracts. And yeah, the Big Ten's easily the target that everybody wants to hit right now.
Yeah, 25% of the population in the country is in the Big Ten footprint. So one final note on this: it could be a lot different when they get to this. And this is the reason why. A lot of people don't realize, you get to 2026, Bob Bowlesby is going to be 70 years old. Jack Swarbrick in Notre Dame is going to be 67 years old along the line. Craig Thompson, the Mountain West commissioner, that you know who's on this, you know, that's three of the four guys. I mean, Thompson's going to be, I think, 67 or 68 years old this time. You may have an entire new group, a group of four individuals trying to come up with something that's different from the one you just had, which yeah. It's something that people got to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read something somewhere, but somebody said, I don't think this 12-team deal, as it's written right now, is going to be what they eventually pass. Right. It'll just go 11-0 and for the 2026 season, it's going to be have to be altered. There's going to be other opinions. There's going to be other ways to look at this. I think this is probably the death of that plan the way it was. This proposal, it was beautiful in its simplicity because anybody could figure out who would have, should have, could have been in if they had this tournament. But yeah, it's going to look quite a bit different. It might be more than 12. It might be 8. It's going to be interesting over the next few years to see how they hammer this out. But I think you're right. I don't think these are the guys who are going to do that. These are the schools who are going to do it. Maybe. Yeah. You know, but these guys are. I think this is their. This is their legacy to the playoffs.
Yeah, and Bill Hancock, who runs the CFP, he's the executive director of it. He's going to be 71 in 2026. So, I mean, these are all things. I mean, that there are a lot of layers to this that a lot of people haven't thought about. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Donnie, always a pleasure. Appreciate it very much. We'll probably talk a little baseball here down the road if they ever do play.
Yeah, they might this year. I mean, it's always possible that they'll actually play some baseball.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah, we'll get around to that a little bit later. Donnie, thanks so much.
All right, Steve, thanks.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Sponsored by good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ryan Roberts, next half hour in the NFL draft, because we've got to get into elements that really interest Matt. And there's still, you know, and Matt loves complaining about the NFL draft.
There's parts of it, but overall, I love the draft.
You just don't like who your team drafts. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment.
In some cases.
You're just so filled with hate. Oh. I get concerned that little Luke and little Mark are going to be playing Little League. They're going to be out there, 6 years old. I told you to hit and run. What's wrong with you? Matt, they're six.
That's when Lisa will call a lawyer, and well, that'll be the end of that.
Well, see, I hope it doesn't come to this, because then I've got to come in and be a witness. I got to take time out of my day. we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Told you to run the pick and roll. There's six. I'm just, you know, I'm all about the kids.
They got to learn, you know.
Oh, I can hear this now. I may actually go to a game just to watch you coach. Then organize a parent revolt.
I actually have no desire to be a head coach. Maybe like an assistant, and so I can do a little bit of something, but I have no desire to be a head coach, actually.
I did that for 11 years.
Yes, I'm aware.
Brutal. Yep. All right, so the last game I ever coached, my wife says to me, what were you thinking down in the third base coaching box? You know, in the last inning, I said, I was thinking about how I could get the run in to tie the game. She says, really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not sitting there thinking about it. It's my last game. I'm trying to help these kids win. Dick and Milton, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, Steve. I'll make this real quick. You remember back when the baseball strike happened the last time, and of course there was a lot of fans put off by the whole thing and never followed professional baseball again.
Yes.
I mean, some of my friends they have no time for it. And I guess my question to you is: now there's more people now than there were then. Are there more baseball fans? I don't know. Do you think if this thing lasted, the same thing will happen? There'll be people just put off by this, and it's really going to hurt the sport overall.
Yeah, I do, Dick. I really do. I think they don't realize what kind of damage they're doing. As much as I love the sport, I can understand people sit back and go, you know what? Do I want to watch this? I mean, they don't, you know, all they care about themselves, not me.
Oh, well, they make so much money. That's what my friend said. The guys are making so much money. Why would they keep doing this stuff? And the owners, too.
I'm with you, Dick. I completely agree with you.